Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate Norm Sousa. Norm, you're not in your head. What are you agreeing with?
I heard myself breathing in while you were talking. Just
oh, wow. Oh, and now waiting to exhale. Here we go.
There you go.
Norm, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? Yeah. I'm back. I was out of town for about a week.
Yeah, you were out of town.
Opening for Beth Stalling in Dayton, Ohio.
Which was a rousing success.
Oh my gosh. She killed it.
She always does.
She killed it. For those of you who don't know Beth Stalling, check her out. Girl Daddy, HBO Max, and this new special is going to be coming out soon. And oh my goodness. Amazing. I got to open. It was an honor.
If you've been listening to this podcast and you don't know who Beth Stalling is,
yeah, then get out of town.
What the hell are you doing?
Actually, I hope you get a bag and pack it up and leave.
Yeah, I hope you breathe into a mic, but there's a bag over your head and you die.
I literally hope there's a bag over your head at all times.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
Yep.
So I'm back now and I'm leaving town tomorrow.
That's right. Mae Martin, right?
Yep. Their comedy special taping in Vancouver.
You'll be there.
And I'll be there once again, back on top.
How do you feel? You're jet setting. You're all over the place.
I feel like a celebrity's apprentice.
Sounds like the show The Apprentice, the celebrity edition. But that's good.
That's what I feel like. How are you feeling without me? Any epiphanies? That's usually the case when I leave town.
I didn't have an epiphany. I was just too busy.
You were busy.
I'm super busy. I have this long COVID stuff, which I'm tired of.
Oh my God, you're being so annoying about it. Yeah, are you okay?
I'm just always tired.
Yeah, you are. But I think it'll start to leave eventually. The cough is better. We must admit.
Something's going around. Everyone I know is sick.
Oh my God, Norm, sick and tired of our love. Yes, please. I'm going to miss you while I'm out of town. Some say less than 72 hours. What am I going to do without you?
You picked up some records for me. That was very nice of you.
I am so nice.
Wow.
I don't know why you're laughing. I'm laughing because you're laughing because joy is infectious.
But yeah, it was really a whirl. I was in New York and then came back and then you left. And then, you know, it's just been a couple weeks of madness.
We're only going to grow closer for the holidays. That's right. You know what my gift is to you?
What?
Me.
Oh, wow.
Same gift you get every year.
And your gift, of course, $50 cash.
We got tattoos in Dayton. Me,
Beth, and Mo.
Yeah, matching tattoos again.
Right.
We can't be stopped.
No, you guys have all tattoos that match.
Some people might say my ribs are a bit of a tattoo city or a graveyard of tattoos, as Anessa once said.
Yeah, you got a bit of a community post-it board on your side.
You know, we are on the forum and we want you to pop off in the chat group on my body.
Yeah, yeah. You did get
all hit sayings.
You do get a tattoo that just says lost dog and there's a picture of a dog. People take
bless
a little tab.
Bless that mess. Should we get to it?
Yeah.
I think so. Wait, scale 1 to 10. In terms of self-esteem, how you feeling? I didn't get a number.
Oh,
it's been a minute since I've gotten a number.
It's just like I have no idea.
You know, I feel like when you're busy, it's a 5 because you're so distracted. You're not even checking in, but nothing's necessarily bad about you as a person.
No, it's like, it's just, I'm constantly swinging from about a 3 to a 7. Like,
then I'm giving it a 5. I'm literally going right in the middle.
Okay, then sure. Yeah, that'll be that.
But let's hope when I come back, you've swung the pendulum to a 7.
Okay.
And we can rejoice my triumphant return.
I think already, I'm doing better than I was this time last year, which is a bonus.
See, that makes me say 6.
Oh, okay.
Which is like almost off the charts. Let's get to it.
Okay.
Speaking of numbers.
Yep.
Very excited for this guest. Huge.
Love them.
Huge check-in. Yeah. They are absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Super funny.
Please help me welcome Ruha Teslimi right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Ruha, jokes on you, we're recording. Welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. It's such a treat. Now let's get right into it.
Okay.
We saw each other, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw each other 2 weeks ago at last week's guest, Jason Duras, at his show with Anessa and Adam that they were doing at UCB. We drew each other's name in a lottery of who to play with for the improv scene.
And I realized we have done sketch before, mm-hmm. but that was our first time doing improv. Was of it? A two-hander scene.
Yes, a two-hander scene, absolutely.
No, I think we've been in group jams.
There was
jams.
One jam
yeah,
there, with but, you and Holly.
Yes, that, but you can't yeah. count a jam.
That's true. That's
it
true.
Has to be like yeah. uninterrupted two-person hardcore scene. And that was our first time. And it was awesome.
It was so fun.
Oh my God, we stole the show. Everyone was like, who are these beauts?
Yeah. You could, yeah. People stood up, said, who are these beauts?
And we kept going, we this like, scene stop is still going. Sit down, please.
Please, please. Enjoy
You've
the scene.
You've got to stop. Just enjoy the
we
scene.
We know you're enamored right
We know
now.
You're loving the scene. Continue to do so.
And they did. It killed, which is such a good feeling, and it yes. was so fun.
You know, I think I was so excited to be there mm-hmm. that any scene I would have done would have gone great according to me, because I was just in such a good mood. I was nervous because I had COVID, and I was like, I'm not gonna be able to do the show, like,
oh,
so
yeah,
well in advance I told Anessa, and I was like, you better get a backup for me. And then I tested negative a couple days before, and it, you know what I mean, tested yeah. a couple times, and I was like, the show is a go. And I'm so glad, because it was one of those shows where you saw pals you hadn't seen mm-hmm. in like before the pandemic, like in truly a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was really nice.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like it was that even more for you, right? Because the cast was so many Canadians.
We're like coyotes. We travel in packs. We're like hyenas. We're terrible.
Which was very cute.
No, it's cute. We come here. We refuse to make friends. We only talk to each other.
Yeah.
I will say, it was when I first moved here, because I had lived in Chicago only like 2.5 years, a mm-hmm. million years ago. But when I lived there, I made some Chicago pals.
Yeah.
And then when I first moved here, a couple of them were here, and then a couple Canadians, just like a select few. But it was really nice for me to already have American friends, because I was like, look at you go, Atlanta. You have American friends. I was like so proud of myself. And I am American, so you can say you have American friends.
Yeah.
In case you came into this with no friends, now you can say it.
Wait, because you're American.
I'm American, so I'm
so your... I have an American friend, yeah. And I have a Canadian friend.
Yes, you have one of each.
And I didn't have any friends when
We're
I walked in this
none.
Store.
You walked in the store.
I made friends with Mia.
You made friends with the dog, and then we locked her out. So yeah. That's not going to go
I said,
well. You're going to walk out of this door.
Hello, goodbye.
And he's going to say, I hate this person.
Yeah.
You're going to be in big trouble.
I will.
Anyways, Ruha, that aside, we like to start this podcast. We like to start this podcast off mm-hmm. with a self-esteem party check-in.
Okay.
So, scale of 1 to 10. How are you feeling about yourself in terms of self-esteem, self-love, however you want to call it? And it can be today, in this moment, recently, mm-hmm. whatever you choose, if you had to put a number on it. And if not, if you have a letter.
On a scale of...
1 to 10. Okay. So 1 being like no self-esteem, 10 being like all the self-esteem.
Okay.
Yeah. We accept all answers.
Okay, I'm trying to do a real check-in.
Let's do it.
It's an interesting question. You know, and there's so much history that prevents me from ever being at full, you
yes.
know,
yeah.
even though I'm like, oh, but compared to I'm a million.
Yes.
You know?
That's really that's a good point to bring up before answering that question, because what's one thing to you is going to have either more weight or less weight than it would to me. And because I don't know all of your past, it's like you could say a number and I would be like, that doesn't make any sense. And you're like, but.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes more sense.
I'm feeling between a 7 and an 8.
Oh, brilliant. We accept. Because if you'd said it another number, I was going to say no.
Oh.
Just kidding. I'm a 5. No.
You're not. I'm so sorry.
You're not. I don't know how to tell you. You're a 2 to 3.
Oh.
Max. You came in here crying. You slapped me. I thought, well, this is a whirlwind of emotion.
Yeah.
All in 1 minute.
Well, I was feeling really good. When
well,
I
yeah,
here,
you were feeling good. And you went, let me
I
do my happy slap.
Yeah.
My happy cry. This is our great friends now. Just a bit of a toss around.
Yeah.
7 or 8 is great.
Okay, great.
And you know what? You're kind of right to make... wait, let me not put words in your mouth, but are you talking a comparison of like pandemic type comparison? Or are you talking like a childhood teenage type comparison? Like what are you exactly comparing to? Or is there a time specifically you're comparing to?
I mean, both, but also like mostly, from inception until like maybe until whenever I took my life,
you know what,
for mine, and then like and shook off whatever you've been drowning in for like decades. But then also like pandemic was a flare up of things.
Yeah.
Because I lost things that did make me feel
yeah
like I was worth something.
And well,
I'm crying already. Well,
okay, first of all, I just cried this morning recording. You are welcome to cry all you want. You should have seen me cry. Everyone would have already heard this episode, but basically I was talking about crying in a Vons.
Uh-huh.
And then he thought it was going to be a really funny answer, asking why I cried, and it was so sad. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like bawling my eyes out. This was like 3 hours ago. I think I'm a little delirious now because of it.
Okay.
A cry sends me, I think it gives me, when I cry, I'm like a baby. It gives me such a headache, mm-hmm. like as if I need to fall asleep. But if I have something else to do or whatever, it makes me delirious because you'll have coffee, you'll have Advil, you'll have like you try to have all these remedies and nothing works. And then now I've had 100 remedies and I'm like hopped up on that.
Yeah.
But like still have that lingering cry headache.
Yeah.
It's like it just reminds you. It's like a little voice in your head going, can't have a good day today, sucker.
Oh,
but I am. I beat the cry.
You beat it because this is good.
Well, the rest of the episode was good. And then I was actually really, it really helped that you were coming by later in the same day because then I knew I was like, okay, well, you got to have your shit together by 3.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? I'm like, you got, I'm not, I messaged you being like, still on. You were like, still on. I was like, great, we're doing this. I go out of town tomorrow. I was like, we got to do this today. And, you know, we picked today, obviously, so I want to continue as best as I can, sticking to a schedule. But like, if you weren't coming, I wonder if I would have let myself like wallow in it more or drown in it. You just said like drowning in old decade old or how decades old things and stuff like that. And it's like, all we know is the life that we've lived. So of course we're only going to see it through that filter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can't even imagine you at 14 versus me at 14. Probably both nightmares. Oh, it was probably a nightmare time for both of us in very different ways.
Yeah, full nightmare.
I was having a Canadian nightmare. You were having an American nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I was in Santa Monica.
Weird. I was emotionally as well. I thought, this is a Santa Monica nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay, but 7 or 8 today. We'll take that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, let's ask, can I ask a smaller or bigger question? Which would you prefer first? Because I'm asking both.
Oh, I mean, I guess we'll go small to big.
Small to big. Okay, small question.
Mm-hmm.
From beginning of pandemic to now, what would you say was a struggle and a victory?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the little question.
And that's
the you only have to give like a one-word answer if you want.
Yeah.
Something like that, or a one-sentence answer.
I mean, there's like so many things.
I know. It's kind of a hard question, like an easy but a hard question. Yeah.
The thing that immediately choked me up and got us into crying was losing like what I do, like losing performing and all of that, which also I felt like you couldn't, like everything going on was so much bigger than that. So it felt wrong to even be upset about it.
Oh my God.
Like
people would come on the podcast during that time. And of course you want to like, you know, I want everybody to be honest. This is a safe space to share, but it's like, yes, because bigger things were going on in the world. It was like, we were like, I miss getting laughs, but people have died.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes. So it was really like guilty to say that. But at the same time, you're like, okay, but I can't help it. It's all I've known for blank years.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help that.
Yeah. And
then somebody took it away.
I was like, and I was destroyed.
God took it away. Yeah, God took it. We lost it.
Yeah.
But we're back a bit.
And we're back. And so that's, and like, I don't know, there was a period where I was like, is that gone?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And like fully grieved.
Oh
like,
yeah.
And like had to fully let it go. And, you know, I don't know, just lost like, we all... Is that me?
Yeah, I was like, this dog's going insane and we're having such an emotional moment right now. But go on, thinking it was
yeah,
not.
She'll, like, she's okay. is that, will it ever be back the same way? Will I ever be able to be back? I have like health stuff, immunocompromised. I, you know, was just convinced that everything would be back and I still wouldn't be able to participate.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that did happen for a period too, where,
because we didn't,
no,
it was a lack of information either that we didn't have or that wasn't given to us. So it's like, you know, a combo of the both. And to think you have something that you, well, how long would you say you've been pursuing comedy for?
Over a decade. And,
I'm nearing on like two.
Yeah.
Like, I've been going hard for a while.
I was a tiny artist, but just not supported by my family.
Right.
Like, I was constantly given the message, like, you cannot do this. You know that. You'll be disowned. Like, these are hobbies or whatever. But I also was always doing it. So I danced from the time I was five.
Oh,
I
went
to LA County High School for the Arts as a theater major. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Because my family was so, my dad was so against all this.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, but I kept, like, dabbling because I liked it. But then it took me, like, it took me going through, like, not doing it, being so depressed, and then figuring out, like, okay, well, what do I want to do with my life? So I didn't I didn't start at UCB until I was 30.
Okay.
And I'm 43 now. So okay. That's about how long.
Wow, you look amazing.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's not what this is about. And that, you know, I can really see how that would take you out of the moment. But, like, I'm sorry. You look so good. Yeah. I'm, like, shocked to hear your age. I can't believe it. Good on you. Wow. I had to get bangs to cover up my wrinkles. And now I might have to, like, push them down because they're springing up too much. My Botox is bangs.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Love to hear.
I mean, that's a fun Botox.
Wow. Okay. So, so a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
I've been here about, I'm going to say like 11 years or something.
I feel
maybe
more.
A little longer.
More.
Yeah. Maybe like.
You were around when I started.
You know what? I would say 12 and no more because it was back and forth. I was still doing stuff in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I was around and then would disappear and then come back.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see you all the time.
No. So that's
so I think
noticed. I say 11 years. I think I say 11 years of like here.
Yeah.
Because that first like year or two was very back and forth and stuff, which is like no complaints. I was working. So that was very fun and exciting. But it made it hard to make friends and stuff like that because they're like, oh, I thought you moved back to Canada. And I'm like, yeah, I was gone a month. And everyone thought I moved without saying goodbye. And I had no problem with it and fully accepted it. Elena's gone. Okay.
I guess we weren't friends.
Yeah, everyone was just mad at me.
So none of you even texted when you thought I moved away.
It's just it was really easy for people to reach out, and it seems like none of you cared to do so.
And every time I came back, you said, oh, I thought you had moved away, but you weren't like excited that I hadn't.
Yeah, you kind of felt indifferent. Anyways, off we go on 1,000 tangents. Here we go. Okay, so worried about performing and if it was coming back or not.
And like grieving it and getting over it and going through that journey and like, who am I without it? Which
totally.
I don't know. I mean, I know that I am.
I lost myself in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And
that was good too because I had to face stuff that I thought I had healed.
Had to go on a journey.
Yeah.
Had to.
Deep individual good time to do it, relationship we all were. Journey. I mean, which, and then in that sense came out of it better, you
on
know,
top.
Like it was terrible.
If
but
you're
like,
back, you came out
I
better.
I grew. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You came back. You're doing good. It's like,
And that did affect me as a performer and stuff too. Like I'm like, I'm better than I ever was, but it's because I'm more just comfortable in my skin, you know, like that is. Yeah.
I feel you 1,000% on that. I feel like I'm at the best I've ever been because I am a little broken. And I was like, look at me go. Wow. I put back together the pieces and it looks different than it did before, but the pieces are there and great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think we both did all this work before that was in place.
Yeah.
But like, before things shut down, it was like constant work.
Oh my God.
And like, I never
like a
could
cycle.
I never could imagine like how not to do that or whatever. And now it's like, It's like riding a bike, quote unquote, which I think is a terrible quote because I don't think it's easy to ride a bike again after you have
it. It's very hard, Norman. I recently got bikes. My bike is so thin. My bike is so thin that it's like I'm like toppling over after being on it for 5 seconds, and it's too tall for me. So I am struggling. I love the bike. It's hot pink. I'll never get rid of it. Of course. I think it's so much fun.
Yeah. And you might get better, but it'll take a little
work. I just haven't ridden in years.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Years.
Yeah. But this is whatever, this feels like whatever that saying's supposed to be, where I'm like, oh, I don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
I trust it. I know it's there. I did all this work, and now I just get to have fun and trust myself.
You know, we kind of come out of this pandemic being like, well, the worst already happened. So what's it if nobody laughs? I'm going to keep going. And then that gives you the confidence you need to get those laughs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you're actually giving yourself so much confidence by not giving a shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you have this. I have found with the shows that I've been doing, I'm like putting them on a pedestal in a healthy way, not like pressure or stress. Mm-hmm. I mean to be like, what a gift to be able to perform for people again.
Yeah.
It feels like a true treat.
Yeah. It feels like a true treat to perform and to watch.
Oh my God. I'm going to shows like crazy. I love it. I'm having the time of my life. Because before I'd be like, oh, can I go first and then take off? And now I'm like, oh, yeah, you put Alana Johnson on a show or you do a show and Alana Johnson's interested.
Yeah.
You'll get that full attendance out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Okay. Okay. So that's the long answer is thought we were going to lose performing. Now, what's a victory? What's that? You kind of already said it of going through this personal journey, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of like facing, okay, well, who am I without all this?
Well, what would you say is a discovery that you made if you had to give an example or something?
I mean, a lot of it was just like healing more trauma and like a lot of that stuff coming up because of the situation, the stress, the anxiety, like all the stuff that I was like, oh, I've overcome this a lot was like peaking again.
Yeah. Or I thought I was further along than this or something.
Yeah.
You get those thoughts. And
starting
judgment.
To feel worthless again. Starting to have low self-esteem points of like,
of course,
who am I? What am I doing? Like, am I this pile of garbage? I'm this like.
And you don't even have your friends.
Stuck at home.
You don't even have your friends surrounding you going, what are you talking about? You're great. Keep going. Yeah. You're like, they can't keep going. What are they going to tell you? You're going to be like, am I nothing? They're going to go, yeah, me too. Yeah. Like, yeah. How can we help? Yeah. We can't at that time.
And having to remind myself that like, because I felt so unproductive and like, all you know, which I'm also like, well, who cares? That's capitalism mentality. But it's also in there enough that I'm like, I'm such a loser. Yeah. Like, that there's that small voice inside that's too big.
Yeah.
And that's just like, what are you doing? You can't like, because I was like, to a certain degree, very happy to lay on my couch with my adorable cats watch everything I never had time to watch.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
I'm not gonna act like I didn't have a blast.
I had a blast. Like there's parts of it that's so good, and then parts that's like, this is solitary confinement basically. And like, of course that's hard mentally,
and the world's in 10 times more pain than I am.
And I'm doing still great. But also having a really hard time.
That's what was so messed up about it. We didn't even have, you couldn't even have space to announce this terrible time because you were like, no matter how bad we think we had it, it was like people had it worse.
I was so lucky. I was so lucky. How lucky I am.
So lucky.
I was actively making choices to be as strict as I was to, because I prioritized safety. You know,
same.
Like, and I'm like, I'm the one making these choices.
Yeah.
And
now, here's the thing. Was I willing to throw that safety out the window the second I got whiff that I could get back on a show? Yes. Instantly, I did not. Like, I was like, number one, mask up, blah, 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 all that stuff. Even when we did have more information, I still was like very paranoid or whatever. And then it was like, okay, shows are back. And I was like, great, see you there. I'll burn my mask. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, I could care less now. I'm back on stage. I don't care if it's with 100 people or 1%. Yeah. I'm back on stage. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. It took me until after I got Omicron, even not leaving my house. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there you go.
And I had had 3 shots in me and I got Omicron. And then I was like,
wow,
I'm gonna tiptoe back into the world. And then I did a show and I was like, okay, yeah, I should do that during my like 3-month extra
mentally,
protected window. And then by the time that 3-month window was done, I was like, I can't stop.
Of course.
Yeah. And also I was like, you know, I avoided getting this. I have immune stuff. I have health stuff. So I was also extra strict, not just because of what it would do while I had it, which was hard. It did kick my butt, and yeah. I was really sick, but I was okay. And but also, like, I just didn't want the virus at play in my system. I didn't know long-term effects with my other immune stuff. Like,
of course.
So I tried really hard not to get it. But so that was done. Like, there was no not getting it. So
I mean, that's a bit of a victory, is, yeah, like, you know, for fear to not have as much of a hold on you.
Yeah.
And get in the way of self-care.
Yeah.
Because it's okay to be, of course, nobody wanted COVID. It's very, yeah, scary. Of course. I'm not, yeah, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm like,
yeah,
if you're like, I'm never going to socialize or see anyone again or whatever, yeah, because of this inevitable thing, it's like, okay, well, where do we draw the line? Like,
yeah,
how much of you can we sacrifice?
Yeah, because also, you know, once I had started to get comfortable, but once people got vaccinated, everyone else was really comfortable with, yeah, no masks and all this stuff, and I wasn't. So that almost shoved me in extra, yeah, you know, and I was like, wait, I was just getting good at being at parks and outside things with people masked.
Oh my God, totally.
And now everyone's like in your face. And I was like, it causes me too much anxiety to keep asking people to keep their distance.
You know what? It's true.
And like, I was like, I'll just stay home longer until I'm ready. Like,
I think you made the right choice in the sense, because before it was like, we all felt like we had to really defend our choices. And mm-hmm. now it's so much more accepted. It's like, if you have a mask, everyone's like, all right, whatever. It's like, nobody cares anymore if you do or you don't.
Yeah.
I
get kind of looks people for wearing
do,
my
I
mask.
Was just about to say, like, sometimes people
again,
do, but
which is whatever.
But I also think it's like become normalized as well. So it's not like, yeah, if, you know, there was a time when everyone would be like, oh, you must have COVID or something. Now everyone's oh, you probably, whatever
you just have
reason.
Health stuff.
Yeah, just whatever, you have it on, who cares?
I mean, before it was pandemic, like, I had masks. I already had masks because I already had immune stuff. And we're at UCB where everyone's like coming through sick seasons with their sniffles and still
a
practice.
Oh my God, totally.
Like, everyone's convinced you can't miss a show or a practice.
Yeah.
So anytime something was going around, or a teammate would be like, I don't feel so good, but I'm going to come up to practice. Or if I had even an inkling of like, this might be allergies, but it might not, I would always wear my mask to protect myself or other people. So I already was like the person who would wear a mask around UCB Sunset.
You in one. Wow,
and like, definitely got glares or like,
well, that
what
I understand
doing?
If it was previous,
but,
because it's something we've never seen really.
And I was like, they just out of protected layers.
Good on you. talk about being ready. Ready.
So, yeah,
willing.
Everyone's like, we gotta get masks. I was like, well, I'll just wear the ones
you're
I
like,
have.
You're like, yes,
already.
I too have to purchase masks.
But I did have to at some point, because the ones I had were just,
well, we
you know,
did,
cotton
yeah.
ones or whatever. Like, they were just fabric.
I got stacks of masks over there just for fun.
I mean, the
I
whole.
Wear them as tiny hats.
That whole era of fabric masks, I was like, I can't believe I have so many fabric masks.
Oh my God. And I had such cute ones. Yeah. Anyways, whatever. Okay.
Well, what are we going to do with that?
So now,
right?
What are we going to do? We're going to wear them
a
as tiny
project.
Hats. or like tiny, like back to hold your bun in the back of your hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever it is, it's going
to
be tiny.
Yeah. I'm pitching to Maude, a person who's trying to use all their fabric masks.
Yeah. Guys, if you want, get online, get on Twitter, add us at Self Esteem Party on Twitter, and let us know what you're doing with all your fabric masks. Hashtag reuse.
Hashtag reuse. I'm thinking hamster hammocks.
I know for a fact someone's going to use a mask as a baby hammock for something. A mouse, a hamster,
something
tiny.
Yeah.
Maybe a pencil just for storage.
Oh, I love a pencil hammock.
Love
for
a
storage.
Pencil and a hammock, actually. That actually sounds like a really convenient place to put a pencil. Okay, now this is my bigger question.
Okay.
That was the small
question.
That
was the small one.
Like 24 minutes in, that was the small question.
Dang.
You gotta be kidding me. Yikes. Okay, this was the big question. A more casual question, but same question, but of childhood, what would you say was the struggle there of something? And you can, because you kind of already said trauma, so you can just leave that as the subject line. We don't need like details or whatever, obviously, because like I'm a tight lip on a lot of things. I'm always like, yeah, when that terrible thing happened, anyways.
Great.
And
you're
like, because whatever.
It's so
it doesn't,
horrific.
Oh my God. Yeah. And it's also like, at the same time, I'm like, you know, sometimes when I talk about something, it can be very therapeutic and helpful, but sometimes I'll talk about something and then it immediately just cracks open the exact emotions I had in that moment as if I've never made progress past them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen often, but occasionally, sometimes you just are caught off guard.
Yeah.
And so I don't always like to share something all the time or publicly or like whatever, because I'm like, you know, maybe there is a few little things I hadn't quite put to rest about this. And you're like, oh, and once they come up, now I'm thinking about them and I have other things to do today. Like, you have a show tonight. You're just like, I have other things to do today. Yeah. So I that's why I kind of say to people, I'm like, yeah, you can talk about whatever or nothing. It does not matter to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, if you had to give a category maybe of something, and then I would love to hear on the flip side, a more positive side, is what's something good you took out of that time?
Hmm.
Yeah. I can give some examples too, if that to, so as not to put you on the spot as well. As much, I mean. Like, a good thing I took out of it was that, oh, I know how to make people laugh and I'm good at it.
Right.
So that was a good thing I got from my childhood. What was, I was made fun of for being weird, but that was the good thing, is I was like, no, turns out I was just funny.
Yeah.
Like, we all, a lot of us experience that.
Yeah.
So that would be an example. Yeah. And then something bad was, like, you know, growing up in the country and in my own world and thinking I was in a music video. And that wasn't helpful because I was really checked out.
Yeah.
So I was like, that wasn't good. That's a very surface example of thinking I was in a music video and not conducting my life appropriately.
Absolutely. Which I could hear about for a long time.
I'm just saying, this is something we want the details on. What are the songs?
Yeah.
Who are the dancers? What's my role in the video?
Well, and I do love that you make music videos.
And now I make music videos for real. So it was kind of like, it wasn't a bad, like, it came out as a positive thing. But at the time, I was very much so in my own world. And
it was an escape.
Yeah. Mechanism. And it was, it makes you an easy target. When you're just like, la, 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 it makes you an easy target. So I would say, yeah, so a bit of a negative in that way at the time. Okay, what about you? If you had to give some fun examples. And have fun with it.
And have fun with this.
Honestly, I'm in the best time. Try not to make noise putting my water down, because I yelled at you about it already.
Yeah, I was like, you're so noisy, and I'm like, I will not move.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding.
I'm trying. I got my hands flailing over here, trying to stay off the table.
It's a very noisy table.
We love it.
Well, I don't even know how to get into it, but a lot of it was just a full rejection of me as a human. Just the general vibe of, like, everything about me is wrong, according to everyone.
Yeah.
I'm first generation, like, my dad came from Iran.
Okay.
So there's all that stuff of, like, I don't fit in with this culture.
Oh yeah.
America's like, you're not us.
Yeah. My mom came from Syria to Canada and in the whitest town on the planet is where my dad wound up. And everyone was like, huh, your mom's brown and you're white. And I was like, yes, thinking that was just the equation. And then I was like, huh, seems like nobody else has this equation in town.
Yeah, and they seem to not like it.
It's become turning a couple heads here. Not feeling like you fit in.
Yeah, not feeling like I fit in. In a couple ways. Feeling like generally rejected.
Yeah, from like categories of people. From or like stuff
everything.
Like that.
But also like on every level. Yeah. I've always been fat, which is like a thing that I love now. But like the world convinced me I was terrible for such a long time.
I love that you said now because it shows things can change. Perceptions can change.
Yeah. Now I'm like, they're wrong.
Oh my God.
Like,
dude.
They're wrong. What is this? Like,
the body image stuff that I had my whole life that I just made up because of like comments I'd hear, not even directed towards me, but, or like magazines or like stuff like that. Like the things that influence us, and then the narrative you tell yourself, and because you don't share it with the right people sometimes, it can be made to feel like it's true.
Yeah.
And we all kind of need someone that's like, hold on, what? Like double take about what we're saying about ourselves. But most of us didn't have that. Cause if I don't know what the relationship was with your family, but like, say if it was positive, And they were like, okay, but even if it was,
yeah.
You're not going to believe it coming from them.
Yeah, because you're like, so it's like, you it love doesn't me. Even, it might as well matter. Have been
negative anyways, because you're like, I'm not even going to believe you. So I'll just put you in the negative category because I think you're lying to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's the same, but it winds up in the same place.
Yeah. And like, even though I'm like, oh, I realized this stuff and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
It literally felt like emerging from... like underwater.
Oh my God.
But,
of course.
But there's still, and even though I'm like, it's not true, it doesn't matter. It also is true because it's what everyone is like, not real. like the way people enact, it also does impact things, even if I'm like, this isn't real.
Like you mean even later in life?
Yeah. Okay, like it's still, it still impacts everything.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm like, okay, I may realize it, but 90% of people around me do not.
Yeah.
And that, like, so I'm still dealing in a landscape where I am undervalued or looked down on, or, you know, like, or there's like this basic like rejection of attraction, or, you know, like,
well, look how long it took just to get different looking people on television.
Yeah.
So it's like, if that's all that we're watching, and that, well, that's still a huge issue.
Yeah, that's still hard. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We still have to call progress even as it is now, even though we're like, okay, a million miles away,
but still,
okay,
but a million miles from where we were. Just were.
Yeah. But it's like, of course, I don't blame you for being like, you know, put off by the way other people are thinking and stuff like that, because you're like, fuck, man, I worked so hard to get here, but I realized none of you were doing that work. It was just me.
Yeah.
You guys all just stay the exact same way. Yeah. So, and you're like, okay. Yeah.
And now I know I'm attractive and worthy of love, but like, more than half of you are still fighting your own attraction to me. Like, it's
true.
It's a beast. And you're attracted to me, but you won't let yourself be because you think it's wrong.
I love it.
Yeah.
Everything you're saying is 100% right. And what a good thing to point out is that it's like, I think we too often hear the story of like, the narrative of no one's attracted to me and I'm ugly and I'm this, I'm that. And then I'm like, I agree with you. I'm like, actually, no, people are attracted to you. It's that they can't accept that themselves because then they think it says something about them.
Yeah.
Because of this way of childhood that we had and growing up in the media. Like this generation now coming up, it's going to be very different. What they see on television is going to be very different than what we saw on television.
Mm-hmm.
Or, God, at least I hope it's very different.
I hope so.
But and even if you look at kid shows, it's already more different if you look at kid shows.
And I want so much more than what it is. But also, I'm like, it's already transformed. But
that's what we're trying to do. Yeah. Doing what we're doing is like in comedy, being like showing different types of way. And we have all kinds of friends and we try to do stuff with all those cool friends and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, we're... blessed. We're trying. Put us on TV. We'll show you.
Put us on TV.
We'll show you everybody we can put on TV. Let us give us the chance. We'll do it. Yeah. We know.
Yeah. Put me on TV and let little queer, non-binary, Middle Eastern kids see themselves.
Please let them.
Be like, wait, what? Like, I mean, I have like the tiniest parts and things, but I'm like, and that tiny part is a revolution. Like, I just want to do what I love.
You're good at. You're so good at what you do. It's so frustrating. If it is your size keeping you off of TV for whatever, like if this is an assumption, it's like how annoying, because you're like, oh my God, you're like, oh, okay, so this number on the scale is going to all of a sudden make me funnier?
Yeah.
What? Like,
I will never listen to that either.
Come on. I mean, it's just, it's like, and it's so interesting. Everyone I talk to, whatever size, whatever shape, you know, whatever background, everybody feels a pressure within whatever quote unquote category they would be in.
Of nobody cares more about their weight than my skinny friends.
Oh my God. Like, I mean Ruha, I'm the worst. Don't even give me the time of day. I'm not even going to breathe a word. That's how annoying I am. I'm not going to breathe. I'm better now. But for a couple of years there, it was dicey. Yeah. But I'm not annoying anymore. I can eat food and we're fine. You can go to dinner with me and it's okay.
Okay, cool.
I promise you. I'll share meals. We'll have fun. Yeah. I'll eat bread.
I mean, I have allergies, so...
If we go to dinner and you're not eating bread, because we're not going to have a good time. Oh my God. Here we go.
But I'll bring my gluten-free bread.
Well, that's a real medical reason. That's yeah. not, come on.
Yeah, I know.
You can't.
You're
like,
oh. I still love food and I have found all the best oh, yeah. ones that I can eat that oh, are not God. That.
So, I love food. Yeah. I love, yeah. I can't say, no, that's wrong. I can't say I love food. I love snacks. Oh. Snacks is not even real food. It's just it's a separate just category little, over yeah. here and it's nothing but bad for you, and I love them. If I could just eat chips all day, I would.
They're so yummy.
Like if someone was like, "Chips are dinner now," I'd be like, "Perfect, one step ahead of the game."
Oh,
here I've been the whole time, waiting for my chips for dinner.
I definitely like can't eat the amount of snacks where I'm like, I don't need to eat anything else.
Oh, because
I just
my life.
Can't stop. I'm like, I'm hungry. You know, the snacks are so good.
Do you have siblings?
I have a younger sibling.
Okay, yeah. So there was four of us growing up. So it's like if my mom would bring home, you know, a fun snack as opposed to like the healthy snacks we had, it was like, I mean, we were like, you had to like have your claws out to get your hands on those cookies. You know what I mean? Before everybody ate them all. So it's like we would gobble up everything. So I'm like, if I see snacks and no one's telling me there's a limit, I'm like, oh my God, I better eat it all. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's no limit on this and no one else is going to have any? I'll make sure I eat the whole thing just in case.
I remember going to like any sort of party with any snack spread and I was like planted right next to the snack spread. Like,
if somebody has a cheese board, good night.
I'm like,
can you eat cheese?
Yummy. Yeah. Oh, thank God. I mean, like, to some degree, I have to pay attention to where the cheese is from, but most cheeses are good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I know some people with lactose is like quite serious.
I mean,
it's like,
I
can be really,
it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it's not my body's best friend.
Yeah.
But...
I think that's a lot of people. Yeah. Though. Yeah. And, yeah. But we're still doing it.
But I'll treat myself to a little bit here and there. You know, but I try to avoid it daily.
Just a few things in life I can't say no to. There's just a couple of things that I'm going, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like somebody offers me mushrooms at 3 p.m. I'll be like, fuck it. No, I just can't. Oh, Alana in her 20s, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Alana now has to be like, let
me
try
plan
8
this.
p.m.
Yeah. When can I take the rest of the day off?
Let's
try 8 p.m.
Let's try 8 p.m.
Just a 5-hour delay.
Oh, sorry, I'm being actually so responsible so I can be in bed by midnight.
You didn't do it at 3. Why? You can't do it at 3, you have to do it at 8. What are you doing from 3 to 8?
I've got, basically, we're talking emails. Oh, we're talking text messages. Okay. We're talking news if I have to watch the news.
Well, yeah, you have to do that sometimes.
You know, when I tune into the news, I just want to be with it. If there's a car chase, I don't want to be hiding mushrooms and think, he's coming for me.
Totally. Well, I love that if you took the mushrooms, you would still watch the news.
Yeah, we want to talk. You and I, no fun to eat with, no fun to do mushrooms with.
I'm sorry, I have to watch this.
Oh my God, guys, I'm totally tripping. Let's get KTLA on, though. Let's get KCAL back on and see what they're saying for the 3 p.m. news. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so...
So, yeah,
The self-perception and talking body image is a big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was, you know, it was like a whole, like...
Under
body,
rejection
it was
umbrella.
Like, just like, I am bad. Like, I truly felt like a monster or like...
Totally.
This just disgusting alien thing that, like, didn't belong in this world.
Yeah.
Rejected... by, like, I was assigned female at birth. I'm non-binary now, but I felt incredibly rejected from womanhood or whatever. Yeah. Like, I felt like I was, like, standing outside of these bars screaming, like, let me in! Like, and people were like, no.
Yeah.
You're too fat. You're too loud. You're too, like, you talk too much. You have too many opinions. All this stuff, which is like, what? Yeah.
You know what they say about women and opinions? No thanks.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
And family, like, family shame stuff, which is just like, I don't know what it is. It's just, I think it's cultural, but because I've seen so much from other people where I'm just like,
this is a whole episode.
Just like,
let's call my mom. Let's get her on the horn here and see what she's saying.
Yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, family's just going to constantly be like, you're terrible in all these ways as this mechanism where they think they're preparing you or like making you better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, like you're crushing me. Yeah. Like you're rejecting. You're just telling me I'm gross all the time. Like,
oh my
that
God.
Doesn't feel good.
No.
So,
and they don't even know they're doing it.
Yeah, they don't know.
God, the power a parent has. Can you believe it? You're just like.
And if you're ever like, oh,
you have
that
everything
made me feel
over
bad.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, I would never make you feel bad. I love you so much. Like, all I do is everything for you. And you're like, oh my God, now you're mad
like,
at
I
me.
Did,
for
I did not ask.
You
know what I mean?
My feelings.
Oh my God. It never ends. Oh, I get it. Ruha, yeah. I've done the same thing. Can I ask a question about, you had mentioned being non-binary. Can I ask how long ago was that you had made that discovery or that, like, did you know and then you held on with that with time or you there wasn't a label for it or that you knew of or, like, what was that journey?
Well, first of all, for a long time, I was trying to hook my little claws into womanhood.
Okay.
So it was me, like, fighting.
Which is terrible because women love claws. You'd think we'd accept.
Think.
We love claws.
I was like, please, look at me. I can do this. What, like, what if I wear makeup? What if I...
Please, look at
I'm shaving my beard and mustache. Like, like, please let me in. You know, like, I know. My boobs are weird. I had a hormone. Like, I also had PCOS, which is great. Like, but it's a hormone thing. So but I feel like my body knew I was intersex or non, like gender nonconforming before I did, but I wasn't ready for it because I was like, that's not what I'm supposed to be. And
oh my God, of course. And if your whole life has been somebody saying to be terrible, if you're thinking I'm this thing, you must assume it's terrible.
Yeah. And
of course.
Definite gender, like heart, even though like my family's always like, oh, it's so weird that we can't get good at your pronouns because the Persian language is not gendered, you know? And like, I'm like, yeah, but like the culture is our gender rules. Like,
well, I'm really in your family's take on this.
As we're all seeing on a grotesque level with what's happening in Iran,
I mean,
know,
don't even
but
get me.
Like, still,
no,
this is
I
the world they
say,
come from.
Sorry,
like,
I was starting saying, don't get me started, but no, get me started. Everybody should be talking about it.
Yeah, everybody should be talking about it. But like, I mean, it is to such a grotesque degree the way that they treat any group of people that aren't Islamic cishet men in Iran, but women is this huge group that everyone can get behind. But you know, my family are Baha'is, which is a religious minority there that has been like, they've been committing genocide against them for this entire regime, basically. So I'm used to like the atrocities happening and the world ignoring it.
Yep.
But it is good to see it being fought for and talked about,
brought
to
light more.
Because you almost like give up. Like, we've known this stuff's happening. We know that they have, like, child brides, and these people have no rights. They can't even, like, dance. They can't, you know, they can't do anything. They can't make choices for themselves. And it's like a terrible human rights situation. And
yes.
The world's just like, we don't see it.
It's interesting, you know, of course we're going to feel helpless. It's like, I've had stuff, we have a lot of family in Syria. There's, you know, and ISIS, and I mean, we can name a million fucking things there.
Yeah.
But it's like, sorry, pardon me. There was so much stuff going on that nobody cared about that I knew was going on, or they cared about for a second. But
right.
It's like,
yeah.
The only good news of what's happening now is I genuinely think people did not know, period.
I don't think
what
they
it was
knew
like there.
Really,
I don't
like,
think they knew.
It was
anything.
So suppressed that they're like, oh, wait, what?
Like, yeah, like
this
basically,
is all news
the first thing
to most
people learned about Arabs was after 9/11, and they were like, that's what Arabic people are. And we're like, huh, okay.
And we're like, no, this just got worse.
Okay.
Oh, huh. So kind of want to go back to being ignored and erased.
Yeah,
but
let's just not put me on KCAL news when Alana's high on mushrooms. There's going to be a misunderstanding. But what's happening now with everybody like talking about it more, you're like, okay, great. Even if we could just educate this fucking guy on Instagram that had no idea and whatever, you're like, great. At
it's
least
people
know
knowing,
now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just to even have a conversation about it or something like that. It's like just to train yourself to be able to see these injustices later down the line in case there is something you can do about it.
Yeah.
And guess what, everybody?
Which,
money goes a long way. Yeah. I'm sorry. I get it. We're far away. We're all the way here. But it's like plenty. of things that you can donate to that are
at least supporting,
hopefully supporting, helping in best way they can.
I know it's hard to get money to them, but it is.
Oh my God, dude. Like, we would send money to our family. We would send money to our family in Syria, and the rebels would take it and cut open the envelope and take the money, and they wouldn't get it.
But there are organizations you can donate to that are working to fight for changes. Yes. And also, like, this is the one thing where you're not performative to just keep posting and amplifying, because the general world media does ignore it and nobody talks about it. So it is powerful to give attention to it.
Well,
and
it
makes them feel supported. But also, like, that regime wants to do everything behind closed doors. Like, they want to get away with it. And
exactly. They hate when you post on Instagram.
Yeah. Like, they.
So do it. Post on Instagram.
That's why they're suppressing their own people from internet access. Like, so anyone who can, like, does. And it does make change. Like, if they feel like, oh, they do know what we're doing, they do shift. It has saved people's lives. Them. Like, they might still do something shitty, but it'll at least be. It has an impact on, like, how aggressive they are, which can be incredibly so.
Well, this is amazing to hear you say, because so we're not so helpless.
Yeah.
If you can share, if you see a video on Instagram or Twitter, like an article, they read it and watch the video first, guys. Don't just start sharing away. Watch the videos. Learn something.
Yeah.
But Peter Banifez, on the podcast before, has been posting amazing videos.
Yeah.
And we're talking anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes. Just watch it and give a repost. I just reposted saying, please watch, in hopes that maybe, because I don't really do posts like that, that maybe someone would be like, oh, I wonder if she really means this, because she never posts kind of really serious things or something like that. So if I can get the word out, if sharing my friend's video lets them know that I support them, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If one share can help.
Even if it's just your Iranian friends feeling supported by you, like, that's an impact.
Yes. Okay. So the feeling was there. You weren't able to come to terms with that yourself to be able to, like, tell other people that or whatever. When were you able to be like, no, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm this and it's time people know.
I mean, I definitely, like, by the time that I was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I am a woman if I want to be. I am I'm, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm perfect as I am. Like, I'm me. Like, that's all that matters. As long, all I need to do is try to feel my best and be my best me. But, like, that has nothing to do with all these things that I have been dictated to me my entire life of what you're supposed to be and look like and act like and whatever.
Because they were,
like,
just making it up.
Yeah, because they're just making it up. Or, and not just, I mean, it's made up, like, a lot of it is connected to white supremacy. Like, I mean, all of this stuff that makes,
which they just made up.
Which they just made up, but it is so invasive now.
This person's bad. Yeah. And you're like, wait a minute, what? Somebody said that a gajillion years ago, and it's like, and that's it, and now we're all disagreeing with it? It's like, it's insane.
Yeah, but it works to keep people feeling like there is something to aspire to, which is this false idea of whatever, like the, you know, that thing, if you, like, Google beautiful women, it's just all these, like, thin white women or whatever.
Like, oh, really? I've never done that.
There was, I don't know if it's still the case, but probably. That it is. Let's probably. Yeah. I haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to take a big guess here.
And, you know, like, so that there's these false ideals of what success and attractiveness and being, like, better than people looks like. And guess what? Nobody should be better than anyone else. Like, that's the first broken part of that system.
Yeah.
But it convinces everyone, like, which is why it works so well, which sucks. But it convinces everyone to, like, submit to that and try to fit in and try their best to assimilate, to be as close to what that is as possible, and to make other people feel like shit if they... Because everyone's making you feel like shit.
Oh my God, it's all projection.
So, like, you're
oh
like,
God.
I feel so bad because of all these things, so I gotta take my wins where I can and make other people feel bad, and it's so toxic. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I just was like, oh, I can be this. I don't need any of that stuff. And, I mean, I'd always had all these things about me that were between whatever assigned gender norms of masculine and feminine, which I don't even know if I... Like, I'm very agendered, too. I'm just like, I reject the idea of gender. Like, that there's these constructs that fall in line
yeah.
for either. So yeah, I don't know. As soon as I was like, oh, I can be a woman if I want to be, I was like, but I don't. I don't, that doesn't feel right to me. I'm more than that, and I'm just a human being. And
you can't fight what you feel. If it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. Yeah. You can tell yourself a story all you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, good for you. Follow the feeling, because you're just like, this will nag me the rest of my life.
Yeah. But of course, everyone was like, you're not a woman, you're not a woman, you're not a woman. And then when I was like, you know what? I'm not. everyone was like, woman. you are a woman.
Oh, my God. I was like, just about to ask, how was it received?
How did that happen? Like, now everyone screams woman at me all the time. And, you know, or it feels that way.
How was that? So
I'm like, I was behind bars trying to be a woman. Then I was like, oh, I'm actually free of this. And I'm not that. And just the world at large is like, she, her, woman, 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 lady. And I'm like, huh. Man, where was this when I was trying to be?
It's been publicly over, identify?
It's been like, it took me a long time to really be like, yeah.
Okay.
Even when I knew, I still was like, I didn't care what people said or.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, everyone, it just seemed too hard to make people call me my pronouns. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a natural thing. It still is. I mean, like, I definitely have stood up for it, and now I'm like, I let people know, but literally as a long hair person who, it is an issue that people just do decide your gender.
I didn't know your pronouns had changed.
Oh yeah.
Because I, on the internet, tend not to read or take in any information if somebody posts something, or in conversation, don't pick up on things if I'm talking too fast or not listening, practicing listening skills. And it was so interesting, because when I did find out, I was like, oh, okay. And didn't think twice, but made that adjustment in my head where I go, okay, great, they, them.
Yeah.
Boop. Like flick a switch.
Yeah.
And it's going nuts. Oh. But flick a switch type thing, and just be like, this is like, rememorize ASAP.
Yeah.
As fast as you can memorize.
Yeah.
Relearn it right away.
Yeah.
I've made mistakes in the past. Of course, I'm truly mortified and horrified, and I think about them all the time because I'm so embarrassed. Sometimes I just didn't know, maybe, or I think I've misunderstood a situation. There was one I misunderstood in the past, a conversation that I think I interpreted the wrong way. But I owe this thank you to the friends in my life that I do have. And everyone was just very matter of fact to point something out. And when I made that mistake, to point it out and just be like, oh, this. And you're okay, great.
Now I know.
That's it. Now I know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which also is the perfect response, because...
Well, I'm asking in detail because you're on the podcast. And that's what this podcast is. But in real life, you're like, oh, it's actually this. You go, okay, great.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we need.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Move on.
And move on.
That's what I learned, because... move on.
Because all the apologies...
It'd just be like, oh, sorry. And then, oh, great. Now I know.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely thank you over and I'm sorry all the time.
Like, thank you over, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Because... Yeah, the I'm sorry thing just,
you know, you got to
get trained in people, but
I'm Canadian.
It's not great. Yeah.
So I have extra. It's true.
Yeah.
It is so true.
Yeah.
It's a stereotype and it's true. This one is.
Yeah.
I naturally will say sorry in response automatically to anything, Ruha. Anything.
No. Yeah, I know.
But it's a bad habit.
Yeah.
It's not a good habit to constantly be apologizing as well, because that mentally is telling yourself you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And there's a mistake and then there's doing something wrong. These are two different things.
And it's also with the gender thing, it's like centering the person who misgendered you instead of you. Like, because that puts it on that person to be like, it's okay, you know, or whatever, to try it. I don't know. It feels weird to the person you're apologizing to to then try to make you feel better, or, you know, and like, it's just also like, I don't want to always feel everyone being like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, when I'm like, they, like, I just want them to be like, oh, they, I just want them to correct.
Yeah.
Or just be like, oh yeah, thank you. They, you know,
damn,
like,
that's a hard, I'm so glad we're having this conversation. Yeah. This is very important for people to hear. It's it's hard when you're naturally a sorry person because even when I make a mistake talking, you saw me, I'm like, oh, sorry. And then I'll like fix the sentence, but I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. That's not,
I mean,
don't apologize. You said a word wrong. Yeah. Don't apologize. So I'm like, it's just me. It's if I say the wrong word, I'm like, you're just saying the wrong word. Just, okay, great. Say the next time, say the right word.
Yeah.
Just change the words and stop apologizing. Yeah. Cause you're right. It's all on you. And oh my God, how's that fair? Now I've done two blunders in a row. That's not fair to anybody.
And yeah, we're all just trying our best. And
but not everybody is.
Okay. Well, so that's
not,
fair.
Cause I was like, I'm not going to let you say that. You
I apologize too much too. And I know this, like,
but it's good to work on.
But yeah,
for all
but
of us.
I apologize too much across the board. Like any little thing. I'm like, oh, sorry.
But then
like,
it makes the apology like, less to move away. Not even from like talking with, gender. In general, if you're constantly saying sorry, then when you do say sorry and it's heartfelt, it's like nobody's buying it because you say sorry about fucking everything. So it's like, make the apologies count. This is just a separate sorry thread. Make the apologies count.
Yeah. And also, isn't that sorry so connected to feeling like you're wrong in this world?
And feeling bad and feeling like, all this. So I'm like,
it's all this old stuff where you're like, oh yeah, I'm bad.
Yeah.
I did so bad. I did bad again.
Wow. This is, I'm loving this because now it's me saying, if I misgender you, if I say wrong pronoun, and then I say sorry, I'm saying, oh, you're something different, and I'm bad, and I'm sorry, I'm bad, and you're going, you're not bad,
so it's like it's fucked you're not up. Bad. That's not good for me, but also, but I don't want you to feel bad. So even though I do feel bad when it happens, but
I'm laughing also, because like, the solution is so simple.
And people get so defensive too, like, oh, well, I don't want, and I know they don't mean it. I just am like, I just want to establish that mm-hmm, I'm going to speak up for myself because those are not mine. But you know, I also get tired. I'm like, same person keeps saying it over and over again. I'm not calling them out every single time.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. A scenario. Okay, great. Thank you. Because I've been in this. Okay, it's a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, it's you and me and some other people.
Yeah.
Somebody has said your wrong pronouns.
Yeah.
And maybe you've corrected them in the past. You don't feel like it or whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you feel if I say something? Or is it something where you would prefer to say?
I love it.
Okay, so we love it. Okay.
I love it.
Okay. See, I've been in the position.
I love it. If a friend's like, oh, their pronouns are they. You
I
know?
Panicked
like,
and didn't
I'm
say
like,
anything
thank
because
you.
I went, am I taking something? Is it that you want to say it? But oh my God, great. Let me be the one to say it. Thrilled.
Yeah.
Love correcting people.
Yeah. Love also, it. Like, if it gets too intense where I'll be like, you don't need to keep going.
Sure.
I'll be like, they're just going to keep doing it. We can chill out, but thank you. But I also appreciate when friends have checked in, like a friend on a team I'm on or something will be like, do you mind if I correct people when they do wrong? And I'm like, not at all. Like,
it's like when people say my name
asking.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Everyone says Alana instead of Alana.
Yeah, instead of Alana.
And when I have because I will say it once or twice, maybe three times when I'm first meeting you and getting to know you, I'll be like, oh, it's Alana. And then after that, I'm not correcting you anymore. And you can feel the shame and embarrassment years down the line about finding out you didn't say my name wrong for a decade.
I thought your name was Alana because I didn't know because I just saw it.
That's what
I
was.
And then someone told me Alana and
there we go.
Same like gear shift where I was like, okay.
Like,
and I'm not
offended
by it. Every
it.
Time, and I'm like, I'm saying it, but I'm also, I'll be honest, there's a small part of me is like, I am doing it right?
Okay.
But because I'm like, Alana.
You've,
like,
yes. Yeah. You've tried, you've asked, you've listened.
Yeah.
It's okay. And sometimes we're going to doubt it. It's just, I'll say this for everybody, Alana banana, simple as that.
Yeah.
You're not going to say Alana banana.
No.
Alana banana.
Who says banana?
Who says banana? Okay, this is great. I am so glad I asked you that question because it always makes me feel better when my friend will be like, it's Alana, so that I don't have to.
Yeah.
So now
it's just
I know.
Like, oh, great. I don't have to go to bat every time.
And I
it makes me feel
say
protected.
Like, I want to say it because I want to just clear it up, honestly. Say if it was in our dinner party I've discussed here.
Yeah.
It's not actually about you. It's that I know they're going to be so fucking embarrassed if I let them continue.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
I can stop it before it begins more than one time, it's like, because then you're the person, people feel, this is not the same thing, but people feel embarrassed to find that they've said my name wrong. So when you find it, you've made a consistent mistake.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my name wrong, a little different than gender identification. Slightly, guys. Just and we're slightly. Talking and, barely.
And Alana is doing
my fingers thing are with pressed
her,
together
with her fingers where they're right next to each other, but also it's clear that the name one is more important.
Yeah, so
she said the name one's on top.
Yeah, this is the name one. This is you, Ruha. Should I say Ruhe?
No, why would
no, Alana, would, you've said it right this whole time.
Wait, to mix it with they?
Honestly, I'm honestly? One step ahead of myself. Wait, look at me go.
Ruhe.
I didn't even think of that. That's genius.
Okay, well.
Okay, well, I'm not going to change my name, but thank you. Okay, that feels thanks like a lot. Suggestion. Yeah, thank you for bringing me on the podcast to tell me to change my name.
There's also so many people, it's hard to be like, hi, attention, alert everyone.
Sure.
These are my pronouns. As many times as I have said it or felt like I announced it or, you know, posted or whatever, like, there's so many friends who during the pandemic were like, oh, did this happen during the pandemic? I'm like, no. Like, it was, there was a long period of me just thinking I couldn't, like, even though I wanted it, that I couldn't demand it.
Sure.
Whatever. I was like, yeah, I don't care what you call me, but these are, I would like they, or as a lot of people used to say, like preferred pronouns, but I'm like, no, they're not preferred. They're my pronouns. Like, it's not a preference.
It's not a choice. This is it. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
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 Good point.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I did do that wading my way in.
Yeah.
Like, being like, okay, let me dip my toe. Will this work? Can this work? Like, of course it can.
I love it. It's I'm just glad I know.
It's just all the weird people-pleasing stuff that I'm like, ugh, that I have trouble navigating, like, standing up for myself and having the world around me, which isn't good at this stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Deal with it, like being on set or whatever. Like, it's hard.
The set thing is tough.
Yeah.
Tough to correct a director sometimes or a showrunner
or something. I'll tell them what it is, and then I'm like, and that I can't keep saying it. Like,
you know what I had a gig or two ago, the director had, you know, they do that safety meeting sometimes or whatever. And the director was like, okay, everyone go around, say your name, say your pronouns. If it matters to you, it matters to me. And I was like, okay, that was very, like, I had never seen a director make everybody say their name. And you said your name too, not just your pronouns. Yeah. And let me tell you this, that guy remembered.
Yeah.
And because some people had said they, them. There was like two people had said they, them.
Yeah.
I already knew them. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens. Because you made this big meeting happen and we all had to go around and say, and I was like, let's see if you do anything about it. And he did.
That's great.
I was like, touche, okay, you listened. Otherwise, don't embarrass yourself asking the fucking question if you're not going to follow through.
You're not going to do it.
So that was like, I was like, oh, that was an, I don't know if I would do it that way. There was just so many people. It took forever. I don't know if I would do it that way, but I'm like, certainly the way if somebody tells you.
Yeah.
Remember
and
do it on a set. So I'm sorry to hear of that struggle, but at the same time, I'm glad that, it's annoying, but at least you're saying something because you deserve that to be able to be called by your pronouns, not your preferred pronouns. That's good. Now I will remember that.
Yeah.
Not to say that. This is great. I hope you don't mind. Like, hope you don't feel like I'm putting you on the spot or something. I'm learning a lot right now.
I mean, I brought it up.
And I think, I think the listeners will really benefit from this because I think a lot of people, like, you don't want to offend somebody, but at the same time, you're also like, I don't want to offend you by standing up for you, but I'm like, oh, no, you want it? I'm your gal. Let's do it. You know what I mean? I'm the one.
I think it's fair to check in with whoever your friend is.
Yeah, because maybe it's different.
Because maybe it's different. Maybe,
maybe
sometimes they don't want it to come up in every situation or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, or they don't feel comfortable with someone else giving their pronouns for them.
Right.
You know, but if they do feel safe and comfortable and like it, then great. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
What? I am thrilled. This is great.
Yeah.
Because I just want everyone to feel good. I want everyone to feel respected. And I want everyone to feel like they can fully be themselves. And it's like to hear, because I didn't know your story, right? So it's like to hear this whole journey, and especially now with on top of with the pandemic stuff and that separate journey on top of this other journey from since childhood and all this stuff that we've all been on. It's just like, it's just so refreshing to have this person in front of me that I've known for so many years. Not well, but I've known you. Done shows with you, of course, and chatted a bunch, but I didn't know any this. And it's like, to be able to see my friend here and be like, oh my God, you are like such a complete person. And I'm like, look at you being you, and we're talking about it, and everybody's feeling great. And I'm like, I'm so happy that like I know so much more about you now. I'm so happy everybody else will now know more about you.
That's so nice.
Because that's like, because everybody's got a story worth hearing, even if it's not currently in the 7 to 8 range of self-esteem that we're feeling today. Mm-hmm. Even if you came in here at a 3 and you told, if we had the exact same conversation and you were a 3, I can't say how you're going to feel at the end of it. I'm going to leave at a 10 because I'm going to go, oh my God, I've learned something. And whatever you were going to come on here and say today, I'm so grateful that like you came on here and you were willing to say it, because how nice to share with everybody and not just me. And I'm really grateful for anybody's honesty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just here, you know, Norm's home and the dog's annoying, and I'm just here trying to facilitate everybody, what everybody else has to say. I'm here for it.
It's such a treat. Oh my God. To talk to you and so, know you. I mean, we could do this forever.
And we must.
And this was the tip.
And we must. We're not done. We're done.
Oh, good.
If you started.
We're not done?
Eyes wide. If you started between a 7 and 8, are you feeling any different now after having really talked about a lot of things, a couple of emotional whirlwinds we've all been on here?
Yeah.
Are you feeling still the same? What's your deal if you had to clock it?
Yeah, just probably just right at an 8.
Yeah. I'll take the same.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Because, yeah.
I'm lying. I'm at least a 9. Because now I've learned some things that are going to help me in other relationships and with other friends to open up a dialogue that maybe I was scared to open up before, thinking I might offend somebody. So you've done me quite a favor here to like at least let me know that like maybe it's preferred just to even check, as opposed to making up my own mind about how you feel about something.
I think that's such a big part of what keeps us apart and divided and like making mistakes is like this culture of like avoidance or like not talking about stuff. It's like, what? Guess and it's not that I'm perfect at it,
but I
do know that like talking about it always works. Like if you approach something with honesty and love and care, like that's not gonna go badly. Like you open your heart to someone you're close with. I mean, don't do that annoying thing where you're like, teach me about your thing, or do all this labor for me, but just being like, I just wanted to check in because I care about you. And
like, yeah, I have this one question.
Do you like this?
And on that note, let's do mushrooms.
Okay.
Okay, and you did drive here. Okay.
I did drive here. I'll have to go get them.
Peace and grease, everybody. Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.